Hey everyone, welcome to Homer's Dope Nuts, a weekly Simpsons podcast where I, the Simpsons guy, and my co-host, El Rey, discuss and review every episode of The Simpsons ever made. We break down the episodes, discuss some of the references, and try to connect our younger listeners with the Simpsons family and how life has changed since the inception of the show over 30 years ago. We hope you enjoy it and provide feedback as we're always looking for ways to improve the show. Hi, everybody, and welcome back for another episode of Homer's Dope Nuts. As always, I am your host, the Simpsons Guy, and I'm joined by El Rey.
Hoy hoy, everyone.
Nice, cool week.
Yeah, it's not cold like it was anymore, but it's nice.
Yeah, it's nice and cool.
Hey, man, if it's only going to get up to like 80, that's fine with me.
I know a lot of Europe would consider that hot, but no. No, it's just
isn't pleasant. Isn't it weird when you hear people say that? Like,
yeah.
From New York? Like, aren't you hot? It's like 80 degrees. Like, no.
No, not at all. You don't know heat, man. You don't know heat.
Add another 20 to that and we'll talk.
Yeah. We live in Satan's armpit, so.
Yes, we do. But yes, it is the week after Halloween.
Yes.
So for me, now the holiday season begins. Yeah, I give Halloween its place, man. Yeah, I don't want to hear Mariah Carey before Halloween. Actually, I don't want to hear that at all. But you know.
Yeah, but they're gonna force feed it to you before Thanksgiving is over. That's for sure.
Well, there might be a little bit of a poetic justice with that. I saw a headline today that she's getting sued.
Really?
For like $20 million.
Why?
Because her version of that song is remarkably similar to a version that was pre-existing version of the song.
Ah, okay. Well, if you get your wishes, Mariah will be $20 million.
In the hole.
Yep.
Anyway, let's talk about Simpsons.
Yes, yes. We're here to discuss the 11th episode of the 8th season, which originally aired in January 19th of 1997. We're getting closer and closer to present day.
Yes, we are.
It's still so far away, though, right?
It's very far away, mm-hmm. But feels like yesterday, doesn't it?
Yes, I know. We're 93 and stuff. 92,
yeah.
93.
Wait.
Yep. Yeah. All right. So the title of the episode is The Twisted World of Marge Simpson.
Yes. And this is our 11th episode in our 8th season.
Yes. This is one of those Marge-centric episodes. We get them from time to time.
And they rarely disappoint.
Yeah, I know. We get to enjoy Marge's squareness.
Yes.
While she navigates through the world.
Yes, these episodes are always good because we do. Marge is a very deep character.
Yeah.
And we just get a little bit further, a little bit further in every one of these episodes that are like this.
Yeah. So. All right. So we're going to start with the traditional chalkboard and couch gags. Yes, we have both.
Yes. So the chalkboard gag is Bart writing, "I am not licensed to do anything."
You think he was trying to tell people he was licensed to kill or something?
Probably. And our couch gag is a recycled, right?
No. Music is recycled.
Music, that's what it is. Okay, yes. So what we see is, we see whack-a-mole holes, for those of you that know what they are,
mm-hmm.
right? And we see the family members popping out of the whack-a-mole holes, right? And a giant mallet is hitting them. It misses them all until Homer pops out and, of course, bam, Homer gets it.
And of course, he has to say, go!
Yep.
Uh-huh.
So, yes, again, the music we've heard.
Yes, and it's the music for the episode of Homie the Clown, okay. Right, when Homer was trying to become a clown, mm-hmm. and he was seeing clowns everywhere.
Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, deep little Easter egg there.
Yes, it is. All right, so we're going to start this episode.
Not at the International House of Pancakes.
Yes, it's the Municipal House of Pancakes. Poor Springfield, right? And they're hosting a meeting for the Springfield Investorettes. And the club is populated by Maude Flanders, Luann Van Houten, Agnes Skinner. By the way, I just found out that Agnes translates into Ines in Spanish.
Does it?
Yes.
Good to know.
Helen Lovejoy, Edna Krabappel, and of course, Marge. And Agnes, being the pleasant woman that she always is, right? She says, they say the pancakes here stink.
Yeah, so she's already, you know,
mm-hmm.
Agnes.
Yep.
And so we see Helen Lovejoy. She has a chart, right? And she's explaining how their shares in Dynaflux, Unimatics are up, right? A delicious 7.75. Meaning their investment club portfolio has nearly doubled in value. And so her suggestion to the group is, now we can use the profits to invest in high-risk ventures.
And Edna Krabappel gets really excited. He goes, oh, how about Oklasoft? It's Oklahoma's fastest growing software company. Tank that stock.
Yeah.
No.
And Maud jumps in. She goes, cushions? Everyone likes to sit on cushions.
Lame.
Yeah.
Then Agnes goes, children are so fat today. Isn't there some way we can make money off of that? Mm-hmm.
And so Helen points out that a franchise fair is held that weekend, and so that they should all go and buy a business, right? And everybody's in agreement, except for, of course, Marge, right? And she jumps in and she says, I'm not wild about these high-risk ventures. They sound a little risky.
That's why they're high-risk,
right? Yes, Marge, yes.
So all of the investor, well, the other investorettes stare at her, and they complain about how she's always been a stick in the mud. And they vote, goes, you don't really contribute anything, but you still share in the profits, right? So then Helen Lovejoy goes, all in favor of expelling Marge from the investorettes?
They all raise their hands. Aye.
Mm-hmm. And Marge gets up. She goes, all right, Helen. If I'm not wanted, I'll leave.
And add insult to injury. As she leaves, Helen says, you'll get your pancakes in the mail.
So next thing we know, we're at the Simpsons dinner table. And Marge is explaining to her family what happened at the municipal pancake house.
Mm-hmm. She's very upset. She's sighing. She goes, and they gave me back my $500 investment and kicked me out of the club.
And Homer goes, wait. Back up a bit now. When are the pancakes coming in the mail?
God, Homer. And so Marge is saying, well, maybe it's all for the best.
And Homer goes, what do you need to make money for anyway? As long as I have my earning power, this family's got nothing to worry about. And then he proceeds to stab his eye with a hot dog. Oh. Ooh, call work and tell him I won't be in tomorrow.
Well, there goes that power right there.
Mm-hmm.
And so Lisa advises her, take the risk, right? Roll the dice. And so Marge decides that she's going to beat these girls at their own game, and she's going to get her own franchise.
Mm-hmm.
So we cut to that next weekend, and we are at the Franchise Expo, right? And there's a robot out there holding money bags, right? Standing in front of the entrance, and in the entrance, and it says, greetings, humans! I am Investo, the robot from the planet Opportuniac. My superior brain advises you to enter the franchise fair.
Doesn't that robot remind you of that robot from Lost in Space?
Oh, the Danger? Uh-huh. Yeah.
Danger, Will Robinson, yeah, Danger!
Man, it's been a minute since I've seen Lost in Space.
Mm-hmm. You haven't seen the Netflix version of it?
No.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good. It doesn't follow the original, but it's a pretty good one. So Marge goes, well, we're trying, but you're blocking our way.
So the robot says, of course, danger, danger. Just like the one Lost in Space. Don't forget to pick up pamphlets.
And Bart goes, I'll handle this. And he pours his cola down the robot's vents. And the robot just kind of like goes crazy and collapses on the floor. And says, help, help, security, code 30. As Bart walks and whistles by.
Yep. It's always got to be Bart.
Mm-hmm.
And so the family walks into what's, you know, the hosting show, the Expo. And there's this guy, Royce, right? What was it? Royce McCutcheon.
Yeah.
It's like, that's the miracle of the franchise. You get all the equipment and know-how you need, plus a familiar brand name people trust. You'll be on a rocket ride to the moon. And while you're there, pick up some of that nice green moon money for me?
And Homer goes, no deal, McCutcheon. That moon money is mine. He was taking that seriously, yes, literally. He did,
right? Mm-hmm. And so Marge goes to this Picture Perfect seminar, as it's called, right? And the host is there and says, now, folks, I don't want to alarm you, but scientists say 40% of America's pictures are hanging crooked. And the audience is like, oh, my God.
That was a very shocking stat to those people.
He goes, yep, it's true. And I hear you asking, well, who's going to straighten out all these artistic abominations? Your friends? A neighbor? Those fat cats in Washington? Good luck. So he says, hey, you know, maybe no one will notice. Maybe the problem will just fix itself.
And of course, Marge is really worried. And she goes, now you're the one being naive.
She doesn't get it, man.
No, she does not.
And he's like, okay, fair enough, but you sound like you're ready to become your own boss in the exciting world of frame nudging. Yes, for a minimal franchise fee, you'll receive a pair of straightening gloves, a canister of wall lubricant, and a booklet of the most commonly asked questions you will hear, including, who are you? And what are you doing here?
Of course, that's more of a nuisance than a real job, isn't it?
Yeah, that's just ridiculous. Mm-hmm. So yeah, not the best sales pitch.
Yeah. So Marge realizes she doesn't really desire to own her own business and wonders what the hell she's doing there in the first place. And as she turns around, she sees the investorettes. And Marge goes, hello, Helen.
So Helen says, Marge.
Edna.
Marge.
And then Marge's like,
And Agnes is there too. She goes, oh, my name is Agnes, and you know it's Agnes. It means Lamb. Lamb of God.
And Marge is like, I'm sorry, Agnes.
Marge. And then they walk away. Right?
Uh-huh.
We don't do it justice, guys, but that's a cool little anime.
Yes. Right there. I mean, they don't show her enough in this episode, but Agnes, she just brings the righteous anger all the time.
She's always funny, man.
Mm-hmm. So Marge, who now remembers why she's there, turns back around, and she starts looking for the right business. And we cut to Disco Stews, and he's apparently pitching something called Can't Stop Learning Disco Academies. Mm-hmm. Right, so he's kind of like dancing in his chair. He goes, did you know that disco record sales were up 400%? For the year ending 1976, 40% for the year ending 1976. And if the trends continue, so he kicks his feet up on the desk. He's got those see-through platform shoes. And of course, they happen to have goldfish in them. But these shoes are sold. Those goldfish are dead.
Yeah, so Homer just points it out. Your fish are dead.
And Disco Stu goes, yeah, I know. I can't get them out of there.
And so we cut to the investorettes, right? The enemy of Marge.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and they are at the Fleeta Pita franchise.
Mm-hmm.
And Helen's like, Pita, well, I don't know about food from the Middle East. Isn't that whole area a little iffy? That's a terrible joke.
Yes. So the hostess goes, hey, I'm no geographer. You and I. Why don't we call it pocket bread, huh?
And so Ma's reading the ingredients. She goes, what's tahini?
Flavor sauce.
And so Edna asks, and falafel?
Crunch patties.
And so Helen says, so we'd be selling foreign
specialty good foods. Here, try Ben Franklin. And she hands her a pita.
Right, uh-huh. Yeah. And Helen takes a bite and she's like, this is good. What's in it?
And then we see this Arab-looking chef stick his head out of the window. He goes, tabbouleh and resmi kebab.
And the host is like, that's our chef, Christopher.
Yeah, he does look like a Christopher, doesn't he?
Yeah. And the chefs are muttering to himself, cursing, and I'm sure, you know, in Hindi. Uh-huh. In Hindu. And like, and he's not having it. Yeah. He knows what's going on.
Uh-uh. So then, all of the investorettes gather around and they start eating pitas, and they look like they're ready to invest in the franchise. Yeah. But right behind them, we see who?
Marge, right? And she's like, look at that. It jumped on the one franchise I might possibly have considered thinking about becoming interested in.
Now that sentence right there
That's gold right there.
It's comedy gold.
That's a good one, man. I mean, good writing, dude.
Yeah, I mean, to sit there and come up with that sentence structure so that it makes complete sense and still fits Marge's personality? Oh, my God.
Wonderful. And so Marge is, she's discouraged at this point. She's, tells herself that she's not cut out for the world of business. And right next to her, we see the owner of this place, the little booth called the Pretzel Wagon. And he says that she sounds like the old me, which is ironically the young me.
So Marge starts to sympathize with the guy, right?
And he tells Marge that he was once, like Marge and the others, lost in a sea of flashy gimmicks and empty promises until God tossed me a life preserver, a tasty, golden brown life preserver. And he flashes a pretzel and offers it to Marge.
So Marge takes it, takes a bite, and goes, not bad.
And he says, it's not only not bad, it's not bread. Not bread. Get it? See? And he like...
Yeah, and Marge goes, I do, and they both laugh. What a lame joke.
That is a lame joke. But Marge loved it. She hit that one up.
Mm-hmm.
And as they're laughing, they're suddenly interrupted by some fanfare, right? They're coming out of a bugle.
Yep.
And it's the hostess from the Fleet of Peter. She's like, let's hear it for the newest members of the Fleet of Peter franchise. And then there's music playing. She announces Maude, Helen, Agnes, Luann, Edna, and Bart.
And Bart goes, woohoo, we're number one. We're number one.
And the security guard grabs him by the collar, right? And Bart's protesting, but yes, he did try to.
By the way, were they playing the Pointer Sisters?
No, it's, what is it? Patti LaBelle.
Ah. Yes, yes. My mistake. But yeah, I used to love that song back in the day. Yeah, it was catchy. So that's the last straw, and Marge asks about the pretzel franchise, right? How much? And conveniently enough, the answer is $500.
She just throws it down, right? And so the guy that, the owner, his name's Frank, he says, congratulations and welcome to the dynamic world of mobile pretzel retailing.
And Marge's like, when can I start? Where's my territory?
Territory? Well, let me tell you, wherever your young mother is ignorant of what to feed her baby, you'll be there. Wherever nacho penetration is less than total, you'll be there. Whenever a Bavarian is not quite full, you will be there.
And she goes, don't forget fat people, they can't stop eating.
And Homer passing by the stand, of course, says, hey, pretzels!
Proving Marge's point.
Yep, right there. So, cut to the Simpson house. And so, Marge is in the kitchen.
Yep. And she pops in a little video cassette in the VCR, right?
Yes.
Because that's how she's going to learn about the pretzel wagon.
Mm-hmm. And so, she pops the tape in. And it's so funny how it starts because it's just pointing at an empty desk, camera. And then we see Frank setting up the camera, walking to the desk, fumbling some papers, and then looks in the camera. Oh, I didn't hear you coming. Like,
you could have at least paid somebody to edit that for you.
Edit that out, man.
Jesus. Right. So he goes, hello, I'm Frank Ormond. And if you're watching me, that means you got pretzel fever. And not the kind that attacked my intestinal lining some years back. So, let's get your franchise up and running.
And so, the family's there. They're all helping with the business. They're following the instructions, right?
Yeah, we see a little montage.
Yes. Right? And so, we hear him narrating. Start by setting up an office in your basement or garage. It's the first direction. And then Marge is like, she's hanging up everything, right?
Uh-huh.
And she puts on that, of course, that overused poster even then. Mm-hmm. The cat hanging around singing, hang in there, baby.
Yep, and then Frank goes, and an automatic garage door opener makes you feel like you're working in a futuristic wonderland. So then somebody presses the garage door to close, and what happens?
Yes, Ned's standing there, right? Mm-hmm. And Homer's just enjoying it because Ned's trying to talk to him or something like that, and he just watches it close.
Yeah, they've done memes about that one, too.
Yeah.
Ned just keeps...
Yeah, he keeps looking under the thing, but yeah. He doesn't get it either.
Yep.
And so he continues, right? He's like, next, blanket your community with flyers. A phony ticker tape parade will help you avoid littering laws. And so we see Bart and Marge having the pamphlets. Homer's riding in the streets with Lisa in the back seat, right? Wearing a Martin the Martian helmet. Right? Uh-huh. And the whole town cheers, right? We welcome back, space girl. Like, whatever is going Williams on.
Wiggins in tears.
Yeah, it's uh-huh. just a totally phony parade.
Uh-huh. So then the video continues, and Frank goes, now you're ready to make pretzels. Open your bag of ingredients. So he opens his too, right? And he looks inside, and he finds bugs. He's like, check for millipedes.
That's disgusting.
Uh-huh. No wonder he got pretzel fever.
And so some time goes by, right? We fast forward time. The kitchen is a total mess, but on the center of the table is a batch of pretzels. So Bart and Lisa are watching Homer, who's wearing his safety hat, and he has a badge that says official pretzel inspector written on it. It's uh-huh. a badge, right? And so he checks the pretzel with a micrometer, gives his approvals, and of course they all exchange high fives or high fours.
High fours, right. Fours. They have four fingers.
Yes. I love that. That Homer, of course, is a pretzel inspector.
Uh-huh. Well, he's the safety inspector at the power plant. So.
There you go.
So the next thing you know, Marge is pulling up to the power plant. And when she parks, she honks. And Homer happens to be conveniently close by.
Yes.
And she goes, hey, what's all that commotion outside? Why? It's one of those pretzel wagons the movie stars are always talking about.
And Lenny's like, here? At our plant?
And Homer goes, that's right, Lenny. Let's all give into the deliciousness the pretzel wagon way.
Right? And everybody cheers, right? And even Homer's yelling, yeah, Homer's right. So bad. And so the whole planet rushes out to get pretzels. Lisa's happy, right? There's mm-hmm. a bunch of people. And Marge tells everyone, all right, put on your hairnets. They're all getting ready. So Marge is there saying, welcome to the pretzel wagon. May I take your order?
And Lenny steps up and is like, let's see. I'll have one...
Carl says, hey, hurry up. I want to get my pretzel.
One pretzel.
And so Marge says, thank you. Right.
And then Carl steps up and is like, let's see. I'll have one of your...
Mr. Burns is there like, come on while we're young.
And... while Carl is hesitating, we see the Fleet of Pita food truck pull up. And, you know, they have a kind of, how would you describe that horn?
It's, like fanfare-ish, kind of.
Yeah.
And Lenny's like, wow, check out that van. It looks like it doesn't even need our business.
And Carl goes, hey, let's go. So there goes Marge's shot at making any sales.
Yes, because the pretzel line becomes the pita line now, right? Mm-hmm. And she goes to talk with her competitor. She says, excuse me, I had this spot first.
And then they goes, oh, sorry, dear, just business. Ha!
You gotta love Emma's line.
Uh-huh.
And so Marge says, well, I guess Macy's and Gimbel's learn to live side by side.
Agnes steps in. Gimbel's is gone, Marge. Long gone. You're Gimbel's. Mm-hmm.
And so, figuring that the power plant isn't the only good location in town, Marge decides to take her business elsewhere, right? And as they're moving the pretzel wagon, this is one of my favorite scenes in the entire Simpson lore, they pass by Cletus, the slack-jawed yokel's house.
Mm-hmm. And he starts waving them, hey, slow down, I wants to talk to you. And Cletus goes, give us 300 pretzels.
And Marge excited, she tells Homer, you see, a little persistence and patience paid off. So she looks at Cletus, she's like, that'll be $300.
And Cletus goes, hey, I don't think so. I got me 300 coupons. And she he hands her an armful of the coupons that Marge had printed out.
Yes. And she's like, ugh, I should have said limit one per customer.
And he goes, should have, but you didn't. So hand them over. Hey, kids, we're eating dinner tonight.
This is the greatness of this part, man, because he proceeds to introduce his children.
Mm-hmm.
Tiffany, Heather, Cody, Dylan, Dermot, Jordan, Taylor, Brittany, Wesley, Rumor, Scout, Cassidy, Zoe, Chloe, Max, Hunter, Kendall, Caitlin, Noah, Sasha, Morgan, Kyra, Ian, Lauren, Q-Bert, and Phil.
You even broke out the Q-Bert.
Good Lord, man.
By the way, did you ever play Q-Bert?
Yeah, I did. I played a few times.
I never liked it.
It wasn't
the best. Yeah, I was like, what the hell is the point of this thing?
I know they tried to like remake it too, but I never
played. They made a cartoon about it too. The cartoon was a lot better than the freaking...
I never saw the cartoon. Oh, man. So that's such a great scene because if you've seen it, you see every kid walk out of the house.
Too. Yes, and they just start lining up.
It's so funny.
And Marge is not happy at all. We see her back in her garage office, and her confidence is lacking. So she reads the poster. Hang in there, baby. You said it, kitty. Then she looks closely. It's like copyright 1968. Determined or not, that cat must be long dead. That's kind of a downer.
Yeah. And so then at that moment, Lisa walks in, and she tells Marge, you need to think big. Right? You need to set up your business at a major public event. So, Marge, she goes to the Springfield War Memorial Baseball Stadium where she holds a free pretzel day.
And Marge is handing them out. Here you go, free pretzel wagon pretzels for everyone. One bite and you'll be hooked.
So we see Principal Skinner, he takes one. Thank you.
Then the Bumblebee Man grabs one. Gracias.
And then Homer whispers to her, that means thank you, Marge.
So
he's trying to.
Yeah. So as everyone is sitting down and they all of them at the same time simultaneously are raising the pretzels to bite into them, the announcer reveals the winner of today's giveaway. They're giving away a 1997 Pontiac Astro Wagon. And it happens to go to the fan in seat 0001. See Montgomery Burns.
Like he needs a freaking car, man.
Of course, he's happy about it, right?
Yes, he's so happy about it. And the crowd is pissed.
Uh-huh.
Right? It's just him and Smithers. They're happy. They hop in the car. And wouldn't you know it, it is pelted by pretzels, right? Thrown by the angry crowd.
And the announcer goes, uh-oh, here comes the pretzels.
And Marge is freaking out. She's like, oh, no, don't do that. You're supposed to be tasting them.
Another announcer goes, Hall of Famer Whitey Ford, now on the field, pleading with the crowd for some kind of sanity.
And the other announcer, uh-oh, barrage of pretzels, now knocking Whitey unconscious.
So then we see Whitey on the floor being pelted with them, right?
Yep.
And the announcer goes, wow, this is a black day for baseball.
Yep. And so we cut back to the Simpsons house, and Bart and Homer are trying to cheer up Marge. She's super depressed, right? Mm-hmm. So Bart's like, cheer up, Mom. You can't buy publicity like that. Thousands and thousands of people saw your pretzels injuring Whitey Ford.
And Homer goes, you could call them Whitey Whackers. Not exactly the kind of support you need.
That's pretty funny, though.
Yep.
Okay, but Marge is not. This isn't helping. She just self-deprecated. You know, she's very upset. And Homer cannot stand to see her like this, right? Marge needs help. God knows I'm not the man to provide it, but I know who can.
Well, at least he's honest with himself, right?
Yep.
So the next thing we know, we see Homer driving to Frank Ormond's Candyland-style house. It looked kind of trippy. So he goes, it looks like Mr. Pretzelman is doing pretty well for himself. And then he rings the doorbell, and a woman wearing all black steps out.
Yep. And Homer says, I'm here to see Mr. Ormond.
And the woman goes, of course, right this way. And they're hosting a funeral for Mr. Ormond in his own house.
Yeah. And Homer's like, oh, I guess I should speak to the executor of his estate?
And the woman whispers, he's right over there. And he points to another coffin, right? They were in the same car. Talk about luck.
I know, right? You're not getting any help there.
Nope.
And so Homer seeks help from church, right? Mm-hmm. He's like, so you hear Homer saying, I've never reached out to you before, but my wife is in her hour of need. Your help could make all the difference in the world.
So, of course, you think he's asking God for help, right?
No, he is not.
He is not. Because we see one fat Tony, right? He goes, okay.
Louis there, right? He's like, see, boss? I told you that is in the church bulletin. Pay up. Oh, my God.
The mob is placing ads in the church bulletin now.
Yep.
So, next thing we know, it's 5:30 in the morning. Marge answers her phone, still asleep. He goes, no, pretzel wagons no longer. 300 pretzels? Wait. Let me get this down. Meatpackers Union Hall, Batavia, New York. I'll send them right out. So, of course, she's happy.
Yeah, but that's funny. Union, New York. You know your mob history? That's pretty funny.
Yes. And, of course, they're tied up with the Springfield mob.
Of course. Mm-hmm. And so she wakes up Homer, right? He's like, Homer, we're back in business. Right? And Homer's, acting like he's surprised. Mm-hmm. And then I love this little montage. Yeah. You go to the streets and we just see Fat Tony and the boys are eliminating the competition, right?
Yeah. Apparently Hans Molman was a hot dog cart guy. Mm-hmm. Not very long because they destroy his hot dog cart.
Yep. And we see Marge counting money, right? Making more pretzels. The orders keep coming in.
And then we see Legs visiting Luigi at his pizza restaurant. And he just destroys the pizzas.
Yeah. And we see a car pull up to the county line and Girl Scouts start walking out at gunpoint. And in the meantime, Marge is still getting rich, right?
Hey, but do cookies really compete with pretzels? No, because you want a salty snack or a sweet snack, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
But again, they're making the only snack.
Yeah, they are. So that's the way the mob does business, right?
Yep, you got one. The offer you can't refuse.
Uh-huh. So next thing we know, we see Marge filling out an order for Springfield Elementary, right? Mm-hmm. She kind of pulls up around the back and Principal Skinner opens the door.
And he's already got like a bandage on his hand, right? Uh-huh. He looks like real distraught.
Uh-huh. And Marge goes, are you sure the children will get enough nutrition from these pretzels?
Yes, I am sure. Sure as sure can be. And he uses his injured right hand to give her the money. He's like, and Marge freaks out.
Yeah, he's like, oh my God, what happened to your fingers?
And we hear the guy inside, boating accident.
And Skinner goes, I believe it was a boking accident. And then we see a little red laser dot on his head. He's like, I have to go now.
Man, what did Skinner do, man, when he's in like that with the mob?
I have no idea. The next thing we know, we see Helen screaming at the police. Why?
Because there's a boat out in the harbor and it is not being able to unload the fleet of pita falafel fixins.
Mm-hmm.
Right? She's like, I don't understand why they won't unload our falafel fixins.
And Lou goes, ship's impounded, ma'am.
And we was like, yeah, we found a couple of barnacles in the hull. That and the deck was wet.
So Helen goes, that's crazy. What are those men doing under my van?
And we see two guys run off, right? And Wickham says, look, lady, if I was you, I would just leap into the air as I am preparing to do. And they both jump in the air and the van explodes in true mob fashion.
Uh-huh. So that night, we go to Moe's, right? And Homer is paying for his beer, which we've never seen him do this, right? And he pays with a 50. And Momo was surprised, right? He goes, hey, Homer, you know your money's no good here. Then he looks at it, wait, this is a real one, right?
Yep.
So then Homer walks into the bathroom to wash his hands.
And we hear a Greetings, Homer.
And Homer goes, hey, Fat Tony, you still with the mafia?
He's, yes, I am.
And Homer's trying to walk away, right?
And he stops him, right? He's like, thank you for asking. Now, Homer, as you no doubt recall, you were done a favor by our how shall I say, mafia crime syndicate.
Oh, yeah.
Now the time has come for you to do us a favor. And my favorite line in this episode, and one of my favorite lines of all time.
And Homer's like, you mean the mob only did me a favor to get something in return? Has he not seen The Godfather?
Yeah. But he's so disappointed.
I know. He's like, he's shocked by their ethics.
So he says, oh, Fat Tony, I will say good day to you, sir. And he folds his arms and turns his back on him, right?
Yep. And Tony feels really bad now. He's dejected. He goes out the back door. And then he realizes what just happened.
So he just goes, hey, wait a minute. Yep. That's one of the greatest scenes ever. But hey, kudos to Homer for using the reverse psychology on Fat Tony.
And it worked. So later, Marge is doing another delivery. But I guess she's trying to visit the Roadrunner or something because she's out in the middle of nowhere, right? The desert.
Yeah. So she looks at her map, and people still use maps.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, well, here I am. Let's see, 11905 Dead Weasel Road. I don't see any apartment building.
And at this point, we see her car getting knocked off the road by Fat Tony's limo.
Right, and she's like, hey, what's going on? And Fat Tony walks to the car and tries to take the keys out of the car, right? But they don't come out.
And he's like, is there a button or release for these keys?
And Marge's like, oh, you have to push in as you turn.
Ah, so he pushes in and he grabs the keys, right?
Yeah, that's it.
So Tony introduces himself as a business partner, and he is entitled to 100% of Marge's profits. And he goes, you have 24 hours to give us our money. And to show you that we're serious, you have 12 hours.
I love that. And so Marge immediately goes to find Homer. She says, Homer, did you tell the mafia they could eliminate my competitors with savage beatings and attempted murder?
In those words, yes.
That's great, man.
You use those words. Yes. Oh, my God.
He's like, I saw you pouring your heart and soul into this business and getting nowhere. I saw you desperately trying to cram one more salty treat into America's already bloated snack hole. So I did what I could. I did what any loving husband would do. I reached out to some violent mobsters.
So Marge says she appreciates the gesture.
She still feels bad for him.
But she does not want to share her profits with the mafia. And I was like, well, what can we do?
And she said, we're going to do what we do every day. We're going to make pretzels.
So the next morning, we see them in the kitchen, bright and early, making pretzels. But they keep looking out the kitchen window, looking for trouble. And as she applies the last salt for the last pretzels, they stare at the watch, at the clock, and they're nervous as hell. Mm-hmm. And then someone knocks at the door.
And they freak out, right?
Uh-huh.
And then we see who it is. It's Grandpa Simpson in his boxers saying, I had that dream again.
And he goes, oh, thank God, it's only Grandpa. And he slams the door in his face.
Right. But then there's another knock. And he opens the door, but it's not Grandpa this time. So he opens the door and it's Tony. He says, sorry, we're late. Do we have the money now?
And Marge goes, the answer is no.
I'm afraid I must insist. You see, my wife, she has been most vocal on the subject of the pretzel monies. Where's the money? When are you going to get the money? Why aren't you getting the money now? And so on.
Yeah, nobody wants to be nagged like that.
Yeah,
right?
No.
So you go, and she goes, the answer is still no. And Marge and Homer kind of like close their eyes and they're waiting to get their beating. Mm-hmm. But before that happens, the investorettes enter the scene.
Yes. And Edna pulls up, or they pull up, and she's like, well, if it isn't Marge Simpson and her gangland cronies.
Maude Flanders goes, "Your goon squad certainly gave you the edge in the mobile snack business, but I'm afraid we've outdone you once again. Hiroshi, Yukio?" And they all step aside, and we see a bunch of Japanese guys, and they all look like they're armed, right? And she goes, "Perhaps you've heard of the Yakuza, the poison fists of the Pacific Rim, the Japanese mafia."
And Agnes says, "They'll kill you 5 times before you hit the ground."
So both the Italian mob,
yes,
and the Yakuza, mm-hmm, step forward, and they start fighting.
A hell of a fight.
Yeah, it is.
A hell of a fight.
I mean, the Italians have, what do you call them, the brass knuckles.
Yeah, yeah. Fat Tony puts on his knuckles.
Uh-huh.
They're throwing ninja stars and stuff like that.
Someone's got a switchblade out.
And I love this part, too, because Marge is like, okay, they forgot about it. She's like, homie, maybe we should go inside.
And Homer's like, but Marge, that little guy hasn't done anything yet. It's a little guy with a white suit,
yeah,
right?
He's just standing there, right, with his arms crossed.
Uh-huh. So he goes, look at him. He's going to do something, and you know it's going to be good. So Marge pulls him in anyway, right?
Mm-hmm. And
as he closes the door?
As soon as they set the door, you just hear, "Wah!" You hear all this commotion outside, and Homer's just like, "Aww." Because he's right. You know that's going to happen.
Yeah, that guy's just looking at everybody like a badass before he flies in. Man. So then we see them in the kitchen, and we see bodies flying around outside through the window. And Homer's still apologizing to Marge while they're having their coffee.
Yeah. And Marge tells him that she loves him because he's always trying, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so then the kids come into the kitchen. All sleepy and neat. Lisa's still young. She's like, "What's going on outside?"
And Marge goes, "Oh, it's just a mob war. Go back to sleep, honey."
And we see the little guy toss through the window, right?
Uh-huh.
And he gets up and he wipes his suit and he bows. He says, "Forgiveness, please." And he runs out to the fight. There's no way they could do that today.
No, no. It would
have been considered whatever.
Yeah. You can't imitate the accent or anything like that anymore. What a bunch of pansies we've become.
But man, I love that. You know he's going to do something good.
Homer, he loves a good fight as long as he's not in it, right?
Yes, yes. I mean, doesn't everyone?
Yeah, anyway. Yeah, that is true. But you know what I can't get used to, man? Today. Like, there's a fight that breaks out. Instead of helping out, the kids just pull out their phones and start recording.
Yeah, that's weird, man.
Yeah.
What happened to you guys? Like, you're supposed to pull your friends off each other and, like...
But now they're recording World Star! Oh, World Star!
God, man. And that's where the episode ends, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe I'm just a cranky old man because I didn't grow up with cell phones. It's not natural for me to want to record everything.
Yeah, but even then, man, it's like... People pulled their friends off of each other when that happened.
Yeah.
You know, like...
Not anymore.
Nah.
Mm-hmm.
Nope. Happy friends somehow. Yeah.
All right, back to The Simpsons.
Yes, back to The Simpsons.
So, how would you rate this episode?
I really like this episode. It has a lot of meme territory in it. And the whole thing with Fat Tony. And then, like, man, like, this is a 500 episode for me. Because it's just pure nostalgia. There's lots of little good jokes in it.
Agnes.
Yeah, it's just...
The Wrath of Agnes.
It's a well-written episode. Mm-hmm. Big time.
Children are so fat today.
She's the best, man.
I agree with you. It is a 5-donut episode. We get to bask in the golden age of The Simpsons yet again. Unfortunately, all good things come to an end.
Yes.
So, let's enjoy these episodes while we can.
Yep. A lot of character death for Marge in this one.
Yes.
Get more of her idiosyncrasies, little insecurities and stuff like that.
Homer's trying to be helpful, and as always, he just makes the problem worse.
Yes, Homer being helpful is one of the greatest things ever, right? As far as comedy.
Yep. Because you never know what he's going to do.
Yeah.
And I guess the mob was having a little slow period, mm-hmm, that they needed to place an ad in the church bulletin.
That was funny. But, I mean, what's not to like? You know, the whole garage door thing with Flanders is hilarious. Mm-hmm. All of Cletus's kids, that's just gold. Like, that's, you know.
Maud and Helen, who are supposed to be godly women.
Very petty.
Very, very, very petty in this one.
I expect that from Agnes and Edna, but,
yeah,
you know.
Actually, you expect that from Helen, too.
Yeah, Helen's pretty
petty. Not from Maud.
But, yeah, and then the whole, you know, oh, Fat Tony, how did that? That's one of the greatest things
ever. Shaming the mobster for being a mobster.
Yep.
And it worked.
It did. And then the Yakuza versus the mob, man. I mean, come on, epic fight.
Yeah. If you haven't seen this, guys, sit down and watch
it. It is a must watch. It is a must watch episode.
I remember seeing this a bunch of times when I was younger. I never got tired of it. I can still see it a bunch of times today, and I won't get tired of it.
No, this one just withstands the test of time.
Yeah, you know, the writing, even Marge's lame monologues are funny. Mm-hmm.
Mr. Burns went in the car. Like, yeah. They killed Whitey Ford.
His surprise gasp. Oh my God.
Oh my goodness, man. But yeah, this, again, pure gold as far as the writing of this episode.
Yep. We even had deaths in this episode.
Yeah, we did.
It just delivered.
Yes, it does.
It delivered. Is there anything else you'd like to add before we sign off?
I would say also that this is one of those that if you're trying to get someone into The Simpsons, this is a good one.
Yeah.
This is a good one.
Yes. Just the shenanigans of Marge just getting kicked out for being a lame square. All the shenanigans that happen afterwards.
Yeah. Homer's honesty. Marge needs help, but I'm not the man to do it.
So I better find somebody who can.
Yeah.
I mean, what's not to love about this episode?
Yeah, it's solid, guys.
The roster of episodes still looks pretty solid.
Oh man, we're still getting close to the greatest one of all time.
Yes, it's a nice little build up. That will definitely be a drunk cast.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yes, and it's not going to be a buzzed cast.
No. We'll be 3 sheets to the wind before you even start.
Yes, we'll make sure. And I apologize ahead of time. I may not be totally coherent.
Oh yeah, let's get that out of the way.
Yeah. What can I say? I am a mortal man.
I, for one, will not apologize for being incoherent. So there you go.
Yep. We may have to re-record that one.
So yeah, we might have some breaks in that one.
Yeah.
If it sounds a little clippy, you'll know why.
We needed a second to boot and rally. Boot and rally, as they say. Don't forget to follow our official show Instagram. That's official_Homers_donuts without the apostrophes. We post original memes from time to time. You can think of any way we can make this show a little bit better for you. Drop us a line on there. And until next week, au revoir, suckers.